The Packers game is over, and now it's time to break this one down. It's the Green and Gold postgame show with former Packers running back Gary Ellerson and the big unit, Bill Michaels.
Well, is it a good win? A win is a win. The Green Bay Packers go to 5-1 on the season, 35-20. They knock off a bad Houston Texans team. Welcome back to the program. It's the Green and Gold postgame show. I'm Bill Michaels, Gary Ellerson alongside. And Gary, look, to me it was an impressive win. The offense did exactly what they were supposed to do. We saw Devontae get a lot of targets and catch a lot of balls, and still people are saying this is not a good win. Who cares? They should have beat this team. Is this where we're at now, man?
Well, yeah, no, a win is a win. We'll take it. It's a great win. But see, here's the problem, Bill, and it's also on the show that I'm on, the big show. I mean, and I've got a lot of co-hosts. They talking Super Bowl. When they went 4-0, 3-0, I got all my guys. It was Leroy Butler and Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, all these guys talking Super Bowl. So you get that big, you know, you're on this big high, Super Bowl. And then they go and lose, and then they still talking Super Bowl. And then you get a game like this, and then all of a sudden, and there were a lot of people who were talking Super Bowl like those two guys, right? And then all of a sudden they get a loss, and then you look at this game and you give this game kind of the side eye, and then now all of a sudden your Super Bowl aspirations that you thought that what they really were, you're kind of now giving the side eye, like maybe you may not think that they're Super Bowl caliber. Don't worry about it. They're 5-1. It's a win. Just keep stacking wins and you'll figure out Super Bowl along the way. So for me, a win's a win. You're 5-1. We'll figure out what Chicago is. Who Chicago play? They play the Rams
on Monday night.
Monday night. And so they're tied for you for first place, or maybe they're by percentage point ahead of you. That's where we are. Let's just try to win a division. Don't worry about Super Bowl. Don't worry about that stuff. You're 5-1. Did it look great? No, I mean, it wasn't the greatest, but they were in command. I mean, there was never a doubt that they were going to lose the game. But, you know, you were without David Bakhtiari. You were without Aaron Jones. You would say, like, if you had to rank, you know, your offensive players, what, Rodgers number one, or maybe Bakhtiari's number two, Aaron Jones number three, or vice versa. So you were missing a lot offensively, and you still were able to score the amount of points that you were able to score. The tackling, I thought, was much, much better, Bill, in this football game. And you're still seeing some guys that you've never seen before. Like, I mean, the rookie kid out of Texas somewhere, you saw him. This number 41 guy, I don't even know his name. I mean, you're seeing guys defensively showing up that you never thought you'd see. The Kamal Martin came in. I thought he played a pretty good game. So there's a lot of positives, I think, to take out of this. Don't get with the ho hum. I need to see more of all that. It's COVID-19. Nothing's been the same. We're trying to figure it out. Is that too much?
Henry Black is who you're talking about. Number 41.
There he is. Henry Black.
Henry Black.
Yeah, there he is.
Now a household name.
Yes, right. Right?
855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. You can find Gary over on Twitter, at Gary Ellerson. You can find me, at Bill_Michaels. You can find us in those realms, and we'd be happy to chat with you. Let's get to our buddy Ty, listening to us in Philadelphia. Ty, how you doing, man? What's going on, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Ty?
Hey, man. I would say, you know, obviously a win is a win, man. But, you know, this team was 13-3 last year. That's a whole bunch of wins, man. It's about Super Bowls for me, man.
Well, of course it's about Super Bowls.
Yeah. I mean, they still look like the same team, man. This team, there's something about this team to me that don't smell right when it comes to being a contender to win the Super Bowl.
Well, who's a contender? Who's a contender in the NFC? Who are the contenders in the NFC?
Right now, it's probably looking like Tampa Bay is going.
Okay, who else?
Seattle got a good offense like Green Bay, but
okay,
the defense.
Tampa Bay, Seattle, and who else?
And Green Bay is probably right now.
There you go. They're a contender. They're there.
But, But are we looking at another second round knockout and or even a first round knockout?
Yeah, sure, we are. Yeah, we are. We're looking at that too. And so is Tampa Bay. I don't believe in them. So is Chicago. I don't believe in them.
But okay.
So is Seattle. I don't believe in them. So is Green Bay. And hold on. And so is Green Bay. And I don't believe in them either. It's wide open for me.
But is Tampa? Can you admit that Tampa Bay is built a little bit better than the Packers? They built to go to the Super Bowl.
Well,
I mean, you can't dispute that.
I would say this. Last year, and thanks for your phone call, Ty. Last year, Bill, when they played San Francisco, the Packers did during the regular season, I said to myself, Self, they'll never beat that team. But when they played Tampa and lost against Tampa, I just don't have that same feeling.
Right. Yeah, and I said this. We said the same thing last week when they got knocked off. We said, look, you play them 10 times, maybe they beat you 6, maybe you beat them 6. I think it was that.
50-50.
I think it was that kind of a 50-50. Right. Right. I don't feel the same. I don't feel that the Bucs are as dominant as San Francisco was last year. For whatever reason, I don't know why, I just don't. It's the fact that the Packers, in the beginning of that game, were able to move up and down the field. And
correct.
They didn't do anything against San Francisco.
Right.
So while I feel the defense of the Buccaneers is really good, and I'm not going to say the best because I don't want to get into that, but I feel they're really good. I think the Packers can still score on them. I still
right.
think the Packers can.
Well, Rodgers didn't play his best game.
Correct. So how good of a win was this or is this for the Packers? See, I'm of the belief of, is it wash, rinse, repeat when you get into the postseason of what we saw last year? It very well could be. I'd like to see
yes.
them have more weapons, absolutely. However, but you can only play the schedule you have, and you can only beat a team so bad. You know what I mean? There was never a moment in this game in which I didn't feel they were going to win this game.
Correct.
That I didn't feel that they were in control. And, oh, by the way, you're supposed to put up 35 on bad teams.
Correct.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Correct.
So I'm not going to have to say the Packers have to apologize for this win. You know what I mean?
Right.
There's no reason to.
No reason to.
So, but look, people want to knock it. I guess until they actually hoist a trophy, those people are going to sit on the sidelines with their arms folded and go, well, show me something. And that's
mm-hmm.
fine. Because from point A to point B, you're going to miss out on a lot of enjoyment of decent football or good football because you're just going to be pissed off all the time because they haven't won a trophy.
Right.
And I understand it. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I understand it. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. You want to chime in and join us today, please go ahead and do so. Gary Ellerson alongside. I'm Bill Michaels. Now, Aaron Rodgers, I want to go back to the play. I was tweeting out today that it was like one misdirection, one RPO, one good play call after the other. I saw the rhythm back today. Now, granted, they didn't play from behind. They went right down. They scored. They had the lead from the very beginning and never relinquished it. But what I saw was really creative, really good, insightful, playing to what the defense was doing and then countering that today, specifically on that touchdown pass in the second quarter where everybody was heading. I mean, everybody got froze because Jamal Williams had been running the ball so well. They even highlighted it on the television. Mm-hmm. But everybody froze, and then Aaron Rodgers naked out to the left side, easy toss to Sternberger into the end zone. I thought it was brilliant play calling today.
Well, it was up until the third quarter because I believe in the third quarter, was it late in the third quarter where you had three and outs? I mean, that was awful.
Yeah.
I mean, I would agree with you. They came out in the first half, great rhythm. The defense was playing well. But then there in that third quarter, you had three and outs. I'm like, what the hell is that? I mean, so you get those, and it felt like they were trying to throw the football. It felt like to me they were out of sync again. I don't know what they were doing. It just got weird. You're right. You played that well then, it just got weird. And I think the reason why it got weird is because they were up, they felt like they were in control, and maybe they were just trying some stuff. But it did get weird there in the third quarter.
855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, feel free to go ahead and do so. We're going to take a quick break, come back. I want to get more of your thoughts and analysis and what you think of this win. Was this a good win for the Green Bay Packers? I mean, there's already people coming out knocking it, saying this was, who cares? This was not a good, if you say who cares, then why are you watching it? You know, if you're already going to knock it, we could have said at the beginning of the show, 35-20, and the Packers get a win, would you have taken it? And most of you would have said yes, and then the pessimist would have said this is just, you know, awful. So was this a good win? Did this put the train back on the tracks for you for the Green Bay Packers? And if not, what is the next win that will? That's what we want to know. 855-830-8640. Packers go to 5-1 with a 35-20 win over the Houston Texans. We've got more of the Green and Gold postgame show right after this.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
The Green Bay Packers get a win. They go to 5-1 on the season. Aaron Rodgers stellar in his performance today. Man, what a big day Rodgers had. His numbers, absolutely fantastic. He ended up going 23 of 34, 283 yards, was not sacked, hurried three times, and that's without David Bakhtiari, remember, four touchdowns, and had a quarterback rating of 132.4, all smiles during the postgame show. So we're going to hear from Aaron Rodgers coming up a little bit later on. Deshaun Watson, a good day, 29 of 39, 309 yards. He was sacked three times. The Packers got some pressure on him at times. He was elusive as well, as he ended up running for 38 yards. But a couple of touchdowns, no picks, and a quarterback rating of 114.2. Gary Ellison alongside. I'm Bill Michaels, taking your phone calls, your reaction. Was this a good win for the Green Bay Packers? Let's go to Tom listening to us in Stillwater. Tom, how you doing today, buddy? What's going on?
Doing good, fellas. A good win. Hopefully I'm not sidetracking the show here, but I did have a different question to pose, and it's really a simple one. We've all had a front row seat now and seen J.J. Watt play us. Is this guy, in your opinions, worth, say, a number two or three in his big contract to bring him in here and get this rush defense shored up? Thanks, guys.
There's a lot of talk out there that J.J. Watt could possibly be on the trade block, Gary. First of all, I can't imagine it because he is their hero down there. But you tell me, what would J.J. Watt, what would you have to give up to get J.J. Watt? What do you think he's worth because of the injury history?
Well, I think maybe a second round, maybe a second and a fourth, maybe a second and a fifth. Maybe something like that. Worth it for me if you're the Green Bay Packers. Difference maker. Bring him in your locker room. I mean, I know we need offensive talent. I mean, I take that, but this is J.J. Watt. I mean, any other guy, give me a receiver, right? I mean, give me
right.
Will Fuller's available. A.J. Green, they say he's available. I mean, there's a couple of receivers out there available. I take all those guys. But not over J.J. Watt. Any other,
right.
But because J.J. Watt also makes your offense better as well. He makes your team better. He makes your locker room better. He makes your community better. And I say you play him like you play Julius Peppers. I don't think you need to play him every single down here in Green Bay. You need to prolong him. So I think what you can do is play him, you know, you put him on a snap count. So he gets a number of snaps, you know, per game. And that's how we did with Julius Peppers. And I think that prolonged his career. You probably can get another 4 to 5 years out of this guy if you do him that way. But most certainly, I think I don't know if he gets you to the Super Bowl, but he gets you closer. Because what you're trying to do, you're in that conversation with Tampa Bay, with Seattle, with the Rams. You know what I mean? They're all in there together. And what that does is that push you closer to being number one in the NFC. Yeah, if they need to go get him now, Bill. They need to figure out how to do that. Every time I watch T.J. Watt, my stomach gets upset. I mean, I don't know how we screwed that up. The guy's right there, take him, right? Bring this guy home. He makes your locker room. He makes your whole team better right now. He's not the player that he once was. But you put him with Bo Smith and with Kenny Clark? What?
Right.
You got something.
Yeah, well, that's just it. You put him with Bo Smith brothers and Kenny Clark on that defensive front, and you have got something real then. Then you got to pick your poison.
Yes.
Of what you're going to take, what you're going to defend. That's when you got to pick your poison. And I agree with you. It makes it. And one thing that people don't kind of understand is it makes your linebackers better.
Well, no doubt about that. And it gives you a situation where if you want to go to a 4-3, you could become very multiple with a 4-3. Rex Ryan ran a lot of 4-3 with his defense that he had. So it gives Patton an opportunity to get out of that 3-4 a little bit, get into a little bit more of a 4-3 to stop the run. Although I thought the defense played very well today in stopping the run. I thought they tackled much better than they did in previous games.
855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Do you feel that this was a good win? Dennis says on Twitter, it was a win, a 15-point road win against a good young quarterback. A little sloppy, yes. It was much better than what we watched last week, and we are now 5-1. I will take it. Let's see here. This is JR3 who says, good win, no. Okay win, yes. Great win, absolutely not. They beat a team they were supposed to beat. Isn't that what good teams do?
Yeah.
That's my point.
Right.
It's mind-boggling to me when people want to poo-poo it. Look, they didn't just beat the best team in the league. I get it. But it's like, come on, man. At what point do you say that they've lost one game? Was it a game that was just – you know, a sloppy game by the Green Bay Packers last week? Was it a game that just Aaron Rodgers didn't play very well? Or was it a game in which they just completely got their ass kicked and outmanned and that they're never going to beat that team? I think it was probably a game Aaron didn't play great. The defense didn't play great. Had a few injuries. Okay.
Right.
Didn't work out. And I think that they can come back and get them. I'm not anywhere. I never left that game against Tampa Bay feeling the same way I did against San Francisco last year when they got just their clocks cleaned by the 49ers.
Right.
Just not at all.
Mm-hmm.
Just not at all. 855-830-8648. Give us a shout. What do you think of this Green Bay Packers team and the win that they just got? 855-830-8648. Dan says, good win. He says, but more so, congratulations. And I got to say this. I got to pause for a minute. Graham Mertz, I mean, I'm jumping in the pool on this.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
I thought he was – no, I know, but
stop.
I'm telling you, do I think he's the Heisman Trophy candidate? No. Okay,
stop.
Could he be one day? Maybe. But I'll tell you this, but Gary, this is the first time since Russell Wilson that we saw a guy that, and I'm not knocking the quarterbacks that the Badgers have had, but this is the first time that a guy came in and looked like a quarterback. You know what I mean? Just, and I'm not saying he had all the smarts or he made all the right moves and all the right reads and all the right throws. And, it could have been just first game, and that's great. But didn't he come in and just kind of command the look of a quarterback?
It's Illinois, but yeah, sure. I mean.
It was an Illinois team that beat the Badgers last year.
Yeah, we had the ball for 40 minutes against Illinois. We puked it up. We gave that game away. Illinois had the ball for like 18 or 19 minutes, Bill. We threw
right.
the game away. I mean. So did he look good? Yeah, I'm gonna give him. He looked good. I once again, this is Packer fans right now. We were 4-0. They were talking Super Bowl. Now we get this kid here, Graham Mertz. Yeah, he looked good. Now he gonna win the Heisman Trophy. We need to slow it down. I know we want to win more Super Bowls. I know at Wisconsin we want to win more championship. But I caution you. Here's why I caution you. Because the Ohio State University, the team that you have to beat, they are stacked, and they are always stacked. What do I mean by that, Gary Ellison? What I mean by that, they probably have a quarterback that's going to be in the first round. They probably have a running back that we don't know about yet that's going to get drafted in the first round. They mm-hmm. probably have a receiver that we don't know about yet that's going to get drafted in the first round. Reason why all that happens that way is because we don't recruit at that high enough level. We don't recruit at Alabama level and Ohio State level and Clemson level. They have all those pieces backed up behind more stuff. So, yeah, I'm happy in that we have that, but it's not enough. Now, here we go, Bill. This is the Packer way now. This is the Badger way. Can we catch lightning in a bottle? Here come the Milwaukee Brewers. Can we catch lightning in a bottle? Here come the Milwaukee Bucks. Can we catch lightning in a bottle? Because there's no sure thing. Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson have probably the closest that you can get to a sure thing because of the way they recruit ball players. I'm just saying.
That I completely agree with. My enthusiasm comes from it was just exciting to see a guy that came in with hype that actually in his first game lived up to the hype.
Okay.
That's it.
All right.
I agree with you. Look, but you know what? Because he was also recruited by numerous big colleges, including Alabama. So my whole thing is
he got a letter from Alabama. He got a letter from Alabama.
They looked over the fence.
They
looked over the fence.
He got a letter from Jordan. They did.
Yeah. Well, when he whoops their ass in that Final Four, Gary, they're going to say, we wish we would have done more than look over that fence.
We'll see. He's like Tim on the Tomb of Time, whatever that guy is.
Tim the Tool Man Taylor, yeah.
But you really don't see his face. You just kind of hear his voice. That's the letter he got.
Yeah. No, I completely get it. But all I'm saying is maybe he's a guy that all of a sudden opens the door a little bit for others to look over to Wisconsin and say we can go there too.
Here's what you need. I would agree. But you need Jonathan Taylor to go with him, right?
Right.
You need Quintez Cephas to go with him. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're dealing with when you're dealing with Ohio State and when you're dealing with Georgia, when you're dealing with Alabama, when you're dealing with Clemson. They have guys to go with those guys. So they don't have to do it all by themselves.
855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Packers get a win. They go to 5-1, 35-20. They knock off the Houston Texans. How big of a win or good of a win is this? Do you believe in the Green Bay Packers, or are you folding your arms saying, I want to wait and see? Don't be shy. Let us know where you're at on this. We got a lot more of the Green Gold Postgame Show. He's Gary Ellison. I'm Bill Michaels. We'll be back after this.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Second down at 2 with Williams in the backfield. Rodgers, Adams inside the 10 and forced out of bounds inside the 5-yard line.
Welcome back. Packers get a win 35-20. They go to 5-1 on the season. It's the Green and Gold Postgame Show. I'm Bill Michaels. Gary Ellerson alongside Aaron Rodgers, a big day today. Looking at the statistics, 23 of 34, 283 yards, 4 touchdowns on the day. Devontae Adams. Gary, now here you go. Here's the numbers from last week. Jamal Williams was the second most targeted receiver today out of the backfield.
Mm-hmm.
5 targets, 4 catches, 37 yards.
Right.
Devontae Adams, 16 targets, 13 catches, 196 yards. And 45 being the longest and a couple of touchdowns.
Yeah.
But today the difference that I felt was, and maybe this is just what I sensed, but Aaron did a great job and Matt LaFleur did a great job with play calling. Some throws were like, hey, Devontae, go get it. And that's what you're supposed to do. Other calls, it looked like it was really good misdirection that opened up other things for Devontae to get open. And Devontae obviously had there were some injuries to their secondary, and he obviously had a good field day with it. But what it did was is it left him a couple of times in one-on-one coverage, and you can't defend Devontae Adams 90% of the time with just one-on-one coverage. And I thought today, while Aaron did look to him a lot, he wasn't staring him down. He wasn't you know what I mean? It wasn't – it seemed to be really fluid today.
It wasn't as obvious, but he always stares him down. I mean, that's going to happen. Because he's your number one guy. So you got to match him. You're going to look to him. But what I agree with you. And because what you end up seeing is you saw him get open on a lot of these crossing routes, these over routes. These routes are coming underneath. You saw a lot of – so when you get those things, that's within the design of the offense. When you start getting plays like when he's out on the sideline, Bill, those types of plays, and we're just throwing it up. And the one that Rodgers just dropped in the basket there on the sideline to him was unbelievable.
Right.
wasn't a touchdown. That's just my guy's been your guy. I'm throwing it. He's going to go route. Boom, fine. Right. But the one that he threw to the right side, I believe he was in a slot. Rodgers actually looked off to the left and came back to the right and threw it to Devontae. Now, he's probably going to go to Devontae the whole time. But still, he looked at the safety off or thought if there was one there. So, yeah, you're right. I felt like it was within the framework of what they were trying to get done offensively.
Yeah, the first time that for the first touchdown of the day, which I thought was it went to Devontae Adams. Aaron Rodgers stared him down, but Devontae worked himself open, and Aaron Rodgers also threw it to the only spot on the field, the corner of the end zone on the outside, that Devontae could have gotten to it. He was the only one that could have got there. So that was the first time. But I agree with you. It was crossing patterns, and Aaron, and they just showed like 3, 4, 5, 6 catches, I think, on Fox. And you could see Aaron in the pocket, look left, then back to Devontae. Look at Devontae, look left, back to Devontae. He was looking all over the field, and then he knew where he wanted to go. He just had to look off the coverage or at least freeze a couple of guys for a second to then come back to him. And that deep pass to Devontae Adams with no over-the-top help, you're one-on-one with a guy that's just not that good. What the hell are the Texans thinking? Because that was not only a big play, obviously, to Devontae Adams, a 45-yard touchdown pass, but – it was like, what are you doing? Not putting anybody over the top there.
Well, here's what it was, Bill. That's the difference between the Bucs defense and the Texans defense. The Bucs can play that. The Texans can't. So that's what you're going to run. And that's why, and I think our fans are so knowledgeable, they see those types of things. And that's why they're saying, ho-hum, I'll wait till we play somebody. Because we know that they can beat the Texans. We know that they can beat those teams like that. What can they beat the Bucs? Can they beat Seattle? Can they beat the Rams? Can they beat the Bears? That's what Packer fans are wondering right now. They're so ho-hum with these games. Now, they go play, Minnesota next week at Lambeau Field?
Yep.
That should be another game that they should, rack up a lot of yards and a lot of points on.
Let's go to Tory listening to us in Columbus, Wisconsin. Tory, how you doing today? What's going on?
Hey, hi. Gary keeps on stealing my punches. I called last week about staring down Devontae Adams, and I just thought Aaron didn't play within the system last week, and maybe this is coaching, and I kind of want to go to coaching. You look at what Mike McCarthy is doing with Dallas, and you look what LaFleur is doing with the Packers, and you even heard Aaron Rodgers say, we were ahead of ourselves, we thought we were this, we thought we were that. And I think that kind of goes to him, staring down Devontae and maybe not playing within the system. And you see today, Bill, you mentioned it, he was looking all around, targeted Aaron, the running back, and we had way more people injured today than we had last week. And I think there's two different defenses, I'll guarantee you that. I believe, yes, go for J.J. Watt, please do. We'll be a Super Bowl contender no matter what if we get him. But let's talk about coaching, and we're not giving Vin LaFleur the credit. Look what Mike McCarthy, he had a year and a half to sit and revamp his whole offense, everything, and look what he's doing. All the procrastinators were saying Dallas could be a Super Bowl contender. They play in the worst division, and look what McCarthy's doing. So let's give credit to LaFleur, and thank you very much.
All right, buddy. Appreciate it. McCarthy got absolutely humiliated, and Andy Dalton got his bell rung. He got just beat up on that turf.
Yes.
25-3, the Cowboys got drilled by Washington today. And there is now rumors.
They got nothing.
Yeah, between and the other side of the coin on this is his biggest problem down there is their defense completely sucks. Yeah. I mean, Dak Prescott, you kind of put the cart before the horse because you say, look at Dak's numbers and what he was doing, and even Andy Dalton was moving the team. But the problem is they were doing it also because the defense had given up so many yards and so many points that you're doing it coming from behind, so you're kind of padding the stats. But, that defense is horrific. And McCarthy, they're calling for his head because he was stupid enough to hire a buddy in Mike Nolan versus hiring – Right. Well, that's just it. But that's what the battle cry is down there, that he's more worried about his buddies than he is about winning and blah, blah, blah. So, and there's rumors now that Mike might not even, if they lose a couple more games, Mike might not even make it to week 10, which I would think that would be crazy. But Jerry Jones is 78 years old. He wants another championship, and he doesn't want to wait 3, 4, 5 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't blame him.
So he's got an itchy trigger finger, especially living down there in Dallas. They can have trigger fingers like that.
Yeah.
So 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll listen to what Devontae Adams had to say after the ball game. We'll give that a little bit of play so we can hear Devontae. Also, we're taking your phone calls and your reaction. And you tell me, because a lot of people chiming in on the Facebook fan page saying, well, you know, this was expected. So my question is, if this is not a big deal as a win, what win is? At what point do you look at this team and say, this is a damn good football team? Or do you say, you know what, I'm going to wait until after they get to the NFC Championship game, and then I'll become a believer. Until then, I'm not believing anything. So let us know what your thoughts are on that. 855-830-8648. He's Gary Ellison. I'm Bill Michaels. We got more coming up right after this.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
How did Green Bay's first score of the game happen? Who helped to put the points on the board? It's time for the Schulze Family Beef Score of the Game. Schulze Family Beef, providing high-quality pasture-raised beef for three generations from their Wisconsin family farm to your family table. Check out their selection and place your order today at SchulzeFamilyBeef.com.
Welcome back. 5-1 the Green Bay Packers are, and they knock off the Houston Texans 35-20. Gary Ellerson alongside. I'm Bill Michaels. We are glad you are with us. Devontae Adams, after the game, he ended up with a big day today. As a matter of fact, a couple of times he dented the end zone. 16 targets, 13 catches, 196 yards. He had a long of 45, and like I said, two touchdowns. Let's take a listen to what he had to say after the ball game. There you go, Devontae Adams after the ball game. And, Gary, he sounded like, well, with some of the questions, it wasn't like he had a chip on his shoulder, but he's got a chip on his shoulder. You know what I mean?
Well, right. I mean, you heard them talking all day about doubling him. And defensively, Bill, that's what I would do. I don't know why the Texans, in obvious passing situations, third and long or whatever it is, just go double him. Make MVS, Malik. Make them guys, St. Brown, make them guys beat you. Tonyan, Sternberg, although he caught a touchdown. For the life of me, I don't get that concept at all. You got one guy. We know they've got one receiver. Go shut him down.
Time now real quick for the first score of the game brought to you by Schulze Family Beef. And here it is, Devontae Adams himself.
10th play of the drive for the Packers. Williams lined up to the right of Rodgers. Lewis shifts. Rodgers throws, finds Adams for a Packers touchdown.
That's the first score of the game. It's brought to you by Schulze Family Beef, high-quality pasture-raised beef for three generations from their Wisconsin family farm to your family table. Check out their selection today. Go to Schulze, S-C-H-O-L-Z-E, SchulzeFamilyBeef.com. That is Schulze, S-C-H-O-L-Z-E, SchulzeFamilyBeef.com. Two more hours yet to go. It's the Green Gold Postgame Show. Packers get a win. Gary and I will talk about it next.
Border to Border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
The Packers game is over, and now it's time to break this one down. It's the Green and Gold Postgame Show with former Packers running back Gary Ellerson and the big unit, Bill Michaels.
The Packers go to 5-1. They beat the Houston Texans 35-20. Welcome back. It's the Green Gold Postgame Show. I'm Bill Michaels. Gary Ellerson alongside as well, the former Packer and Badger running back. You want to get a hold of us. The phone line's wide open, 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Also, if you want to get a hold of us on Twitter, it is at Gary Ellerson. That's at Gary Ellerson. You can find me at Bill_Michaels, at Bill_Michaels. We got our buddy Trell on hold. Been on hold a while. Let's go right to the phone calls. Trell, how you doing?
Hey, how you gentlemen doing?
Hey, going on, Steve? What's going on?
All right. Bill, I guess it's good that they didn't allow last game to linger, but really didn't learn anything about today. I mean, you haven't played anybody. So they're going to win, 11, 12, 13 games more than likely, but when they run into a team that's very talented and that's aggressive, they're going to lose. And, I mean, if you're fine with getting your ticket into the playoffs and going through the motions, then I guess that's fine for you. I mean, as far as that type of fan, but I'm just not. I'm not there anymore as far as that. And I'm not going to be there. I mean, I don't think it's pretty much anything. The only thing they can do this year is maybe when they play a team like a Tennessee or, San Francisco even. They're not the team from last year, but they're still going to pose a threat. They're still going to attack the game with a level of physicality that you're not going to get from, a team on a set week. But, to me, the Packers, they won. I'm happy, but, it's just pretty much going through the motions type of feeling. I'm more excited about Graham Mertz right now.
Terrell, let me ask you something. Are you basically saying that, look, this is, as I've stated before, kind of the wash, rinse, repeat, and it's great to watch the season, but they're not going anywhere?
Yeah, pretty much that's it. I mean, they're not going anywhere. Like I've told Gary, I'm sure that he can attest to this, unless they have a Cinderella moment and it doesn't turn midnight, before the playoff game is over with, they're not going anywhere. So as far as that, unless the team gets aggressive and does something that they normally don't do, and they try to, add to the morale and add to the talent to that team. Otherwise, don't see anything happening. But I'm sure excited for the Wisconsin Badgers and Graham Mertz right now. I must say that. Very excited.
I appreciate it as always, Terrell. We're excited for the Badgers, no doubt. But Gary, there seems to be like this. On one hand, you got people that say, you see, they didn't need to go out and draft a first wide receiver or middle linebacker. They're winning. It's great. And then you've got others like Terrell that are like, what'd you do? You're this kind of the same team you were. All you did was kind of reabsorb the offense, and you're looking a little bit better. And you're really not better than the best teams that are out there. So what, why, unless, of course, injury becomes the great equalizer. So why should we get into it? Let's look for other things to get into.
Well, right. I mean, because we've seen this movie before. I mean, watched it. That's the problem. We've seen it over and over and over. I mean, we've seen the same movie for about 20 years in a row, every Sunday. Every fall, we watch this movie over. I mean, under McCarthy, we've seen this movie, right? Under Mike Sherman, we've seen this movie, right? Mm-hmm. Only difference between Mike McCarthy and Mike Sherman is that you won a Super Bowl with Mike McCarthy. But Sherman, you most certainly seen this movie. Mike Holmgren, maybe you saw parts of it, but you got a Super Bowl yet. You went to two there. So we've seen this before. So I think if you're a Packer fan, if you've been watching this for a long time, you're asking yourself, wake me up when we get to the playoffs. Or you're looking for signature games, signature wins, right? Like Terrell said, maybe it's San Francisco. I happen to think the Chicago Bears will be a test for us at least the two times that we're going to play them. 49ers, they're not the team they used to be, but I'd like to see us against those teams again. Yeah, because mm-hmm. you're trying to figure out, are we Super Bowl bound? Are we good enough? I just think we are. Like a lot of about five other teams in the NFC, I think on any given day, one of those teams, and the Packers are one of them, can win the NFC championship.
I got an email here from Jake, and Jake says, hey guys, they got beat by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who already have good wide receivers in Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, even guys like Scott Miller. However, they went out and signed Antonio Brown. Why not take a flyer on a guy like that? The Packers will never do this. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers know the window is closing with Tom Brady. While the window remains closed, almost, he has in parentheses, with Aaron Rodgers, the Packers sit idly by and draft for the future and not for the here and now. This is the reason I don't believe in Gutekunst and I don't believe in this organization anymore. They're only in it to make a buck to get to the postseason, and they're fooling us as fans.
Okay.
That's kind of, look, I know it's, we're supposed to react to this, but it's kind of like that. We're hearing a lot of that.
Right. We are.
You know what I mean?
And there's some truth to it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, look, they have talked about it before, and Brian Gutekunst has said you get to the postseason, anything can happen. Mm-hmm. So that goes back to the, quote, like catch lightning in a bottle comments. You know, you know, we'll see what can happen. You may, who knows, maybe we get a little bit lucky, things happen. But in the NFL, you're on the same playing stage as everybody else. It's not like baseball, where in baseball, you know, you've got a $35 to $55 million payroll versus a $200 million payroll. This is the NFL. Everybody's pretty much on the same playing field. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So why is one organization looking at things and going for it, and why is another organization that, while they have a history of winning, they don't have a history of consistently winning championships? Why is another organization like the Packers not consistently, quote, going for it? I think last year they pushed a lot of chips to the middle of the table when they went after Preston and Zadarius Smith and Adrian Amos and company and Billy Turner, right?
Well, I mean, there are some instances when you saw the Packers, and for me, here's the difference, Bill. They didn't really go – I mean, you needed those – you need the Smith brothers, right, and Amos. You need those guys to fortify what you had lost when you screwed up draft picks. So they're almost like draft picks. What Packer fans are looking for, they're going for it. The Smiths and Amos was not going for it to me. Right now, when you're in position to win, go get J.J. Watt, go for it. And that's what Packer fans are looking for them to do, to go for it.
855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. This one's from Brad, who says, hey, guys, let's forget about the trade talk about adding another wide receiver and trade for an inside linebacker or a physical inside presence defensively. Defense wins championships. A typical Packers fashion pickup, some undrafted free agent. Sure, that's what we're going to do.
Right.
The Packers organization.
Because if you think about it, Bill, Nick Perry and Clay Matthews, they never replaced those guys in the draft.
No.
And so you had to go get two free agents to bring in to replace. I mean, the Packers draft, this whole draft and development theory that they've having, just really, they missed on a lot of drafts where just think our lucky stars that Gutekunst was able to pick up some guys that kind of fortified that position right away. Otherwise, where would we be? I mean, you let Nick Perry, you let Clay Matthews, and you never figure out your inside linebacker. That got old on you, and it wasn't Blake Martinez, but you drafted him to be, and it wasn't him. It's not Owen Burks. You drafted him to be, and this Kamal Martin kid looked like he could be something. I saw him today. He looks good. If you can get Martin and what's the other kid name? I think he got hurt today.
Barnes.
Chris Barnes. If you get both of those guys on the field at the same time, you may have something at your linebacker position.
See, inside
and out.
Right. I kind of hope that both of those guys turn – I mean, we obviously hope that both of those guys turn out to be something. And then you can get maybe Kirksey back down the road. Boy, Oren Burks, much as I like that guy, it doesn't give you much of anything.
There.
Yeah. They missed on that. Granted, he's been banged up and he's still absorbing things, but how many more excuses can you make for a guy that when he gets opportunities,
you really can't.
You know, you don't see it, you know. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back, get back into it. Want more of your phone calls, your reaction. Give us a shout as the Green Bay Packers, they knock off the Houston Texans 35-20. Good win? Or are you like many that are sitting out there going, show me something when you win an NFC Championship game again? Because going 13-3 doesn't mean anything to me anymore, which a lot of people today are saying that. Stay tuned. We got a lot more of the Bill Michaels show, the Green and Gold postgame show right after this.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Talk about the way Rodgers played today and compare it to the ways you'd seen him play earlier and when you guys played against him.
He played very well today.
What did he do that made him play well?
Threw the ball to the receivers and they caught.
That is J.J. Watt. That is J.J. Watt after the game.
He's not feeling good.
That is one angry Texan right now. And by the way, that he's short with one of the best writers in the business. That's John McClain from the Houston Chronicle down there. That's who was asking that question. We had John on earlier this week on my local show. And John's absolutely terrific and very, very well thought of. And that is J.J., his response to John.
Well, J.J.'s not feeling well.
No, he's not. He's not happy with things right now, to say the very least. Hey,
I
look,
don't blame him, you know?
Yeah. You know, Bill O'Brien kind of
it's a mess.
Derailed that team.
Yes.
And, yeah.
He's in a mess.
It's a bad situation.
It really is, Bill. Really
it's a bad
is.
Situation.
I mean, you saw it on his face the whole time during the game. It's like he needs to get out of there.
Yeah.
The Packers need to go save him. I don't know if they will or not.
855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. By the way, the injury report, which is brought to you by our friends at Tayback Law, sponsored by Tayback Law. Veterans, if you feel you've been wrongfully denied any benefits, contact Tayback for the payback at taybackattorneys.com. The only guy that really had an issue, you saw Rashawn Gary go down with that ankle.
And every game.
And then pop back up. But then you had Za'Darius Smith go down with an ankle, and he ended up coming back.
Right.
Yep, he's been nursing an ankle injury pretty much for the last few weeks. So those were the two guys. That's the only two I can remember. Was there anybody else? I started writing them down as I was kind of going along.
There were
a lot
of guys just falling down, then getting back up again. I mean, they had a lot of that going on.
But it didn't look like anything serious. Boy, the injury to Aaron Jones came out of nowhere, right?
Well, yeah, that came out of nowhere. Yeah,
during the week, so they sat him in that. How much money?
What?
Has Jamal Williams made himself this year?
Well, you know what he is, right? He's not Aaron Jones.
No, but he's opened a lot of eyes.
Well, yeah, and he's just he's a complimentary back, and he'll get paid as such.
That's all he is. Do you bring him back?
One.
No, I completely agree with that. But do you bring him back?
Well, yes, depending on what his price is going to be, but I'm not going to overpay him. Because there'll be some teams that'll overpay him. I think he'll get overpaid somewhere. But he's not, you know, I mean, you can see, I mean, I saw a couple runs. I'm like, Jesus, that was Aaron Jones. He took it to the house. He's not that guy. And so, but there'll be some guy, maybe it'll be a desperate team out there, like teams that are not very good, that'll overpay for a guy like that. But if But if you can get him on a cheap, yeah, I think they should bring him back. But I think somebody's going to overpay for him.
855-830-8648. I just think he has – I agree with you, somebody's going to overpay for him. I hope he sticks around only for the fact that those two guys, him and Aaron Jones, came into the league together. They kind of were shopped around together. I remember being with those guys out in San Fran together. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of just, you know, as we sat there, was it San Francisco or Houston? One of the two. But as we sat there and we're talking to those guys when they were, you know, just kind of shopping themselves coming into the league, and they were just so joyous to be together. I hate to kind of break that up, so to speak.
Well, you'll have A.J. Dillon.
Right.
So they'll run. So it'll be either A.J. Dillon and Jamal Williams or A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones.
Well, you hope it's A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones.
Well, that's what it's going to be. I don't think those three guys won't be long together.
Once you get Aaron Jones or A.J. Dillon to start running behind his pads a little bit more and not so straight up, I mean, he's gotten better. But then I think then you'll really start to find out exactly what it is you have in A.J. Dillon.
Right. 855-830-8648.
Again, 855-830-8648. Let's do this. Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur both spoke to the media. Matt LaFleur just finished up just moments ago.
Okay.
Let's take a listen to the head coach, Matt LaFleur, as he spoke to the media. We'll find it here in just 1 second, and we'll get to Matt LaFleur coming up here momentarily. But he ended up chatting with the media. And then, of course, we'll hear from Aaron Rodgers and Adrian Amos, by the way, who spoke to the media.
Awesome.
Here we go. So there you go, Matt LaFleur after the ball game. Some interesting stuff there, Gary, because he's right. We tend to forget because of win. You forget about the couple of special teams, I don't want to say gaffes, but, you know, they didn't come up with the onside kick and obviously a blocked punt today, which in a tight game can always prove costly. So some things there that not the best when it came to that particular aspect of the game.
No, it really was. And so is puzzling. So, and that's when you get with the whole picture. That's why fans are giving you the side eye with this thing, because you look at what happened today and you saw these special teams blunders and you're thinking, are we a Super Bowl team? Are we the best team in the NFC? No one knows. I mean, that reared its ugly head today that we had not seen in these first four games.
855-830-8648. Let's do this. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break. We're going to come back, talk more about this, and we'll talk more about the special teams, about what Matt LaFleur had to say. Look, Matt LaFleur is kind of the same ilk of, you know, look, we can only play the teams that are ahead of us. We can only win by so much.
That's
we can
it.
Only do things to get corrected. You know, if fans don't want to believe, I don't know what to tell you, and that's fine. That's your prerogative.
Right.
You know, but all they can do is win football games and hope that you jump on
Stack
board.
Stack up wins, baby.
That's it. 5-1, 35-20, they knock off the Texans. We got more of the Green and Gold postgame show right after this.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Second and goal. Rodgers looking, throws, end zone, touchdown. Malik Taylor
getting in on the scoring today. Green Bay Packers, they get a win at 35-20, go to 5-1 on the season, knocking off the Houston Texans, and Aaron Rodgers with a big day. Malik Taylor, the other wide receiver to catch himself a touchdown pass, along with Jay Sternberger into the mix. Only thrown two today, Gary Ellerson, one time. But when it comes to the tight end position, we know Mercedes Lewis. He's targeted three times a day with a catch, and he's kind of like the buddy, the big dog, you know. But I know they want Sternberger into the mix. I know they want to be able to utilize what they feel he has talent-wise. But you can't deny what Tanyan brings to the table. He gets open. He gets downfield. That catch that he had, that diving catch that was off to his right, he had to come back for. Aaron Rodgers threw it off his back foot. He just continues to impress the hell out of me.
Well, yeah. I mean, listen, I don't know if, Bill, you talked. Did you see that? Was that the Colin Cowherd thing this week about him not coming back, Rodgers not coming back?
Right.
When he's down. Did you see?
Right.
Did you talk
yes.
about that at all?
Yes, we did.
And so before that came out, though, we had some people calling to our show, talked a little bit about that 2 weeks ago, and his inability to win these close games. And you start getting on yourself. You start getting into yourself, well, whether it's maybe the reason he can't win his game because the defense isn't good. Maybe because he doesn't have enough players. But it was never really about Rodgers. And we're used to Rodgers. I mean, I expected Rodgers to perform like this against this team. And I'm really getting weird now. I really am. Is when we come up against a really tough team, what does his numbers look like? How does he play? How does he perform? I mean, I don't know if there's any stock in that, because the prevailing thought is that Rodgers never had enough talent around him, so that's Brian Gutekunst's fault, right? Mm-hmm. Or Ted Thompson. And the other thing was that Mike McCarthy hindered him all these years is the reason why he doesn't have more Super Bowls. And then the third thing would be, is it about Aaron Rodgers?
Well, I think when I ask that question, you have to say, okay, if he doesn't have talent around him, don't teams that are better or elite have really good defenses? And they have the ability to take away your best weapon. Therefore, guys that are average or below average that you've been making look like superstars against worse teams, they don't have the ability to shine against better teams. So is it Rodgers or is it the talent around him?
And that's the question.
Because, I mean, people say, well, Rodgers doesn't win big games. Well, he's won
right.
playoff games. Those are one-and-dones, right?
Right. Yes.
So, you know, I mean, he's right. won big games to put himself into the postseason. He won a big game against the Bears when he came back from injury a couple of years back when throwing that pass to Randall Cobb. You know, okay, he won that game. He's won a Super Bowl. He had one of the most impressive games I'd ever seen, go back to 2010 against the Atlanta Falcons. You know, I mean, he's won games. To say that he didn't win an NFC Championship game, completely agree with that. You know, but that doesn't mean he didn't win the game the week before that, because that was just as big a game, because if you lose that game, right, you go home. Mm-hmm. You know, so I guess it's kind of like they say, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. Mm-hmm. Well, big games are only in the eye of the beholder. You know, I mean, if you think this is a big game and he doesn't win it, well, that's great. But maybe the big game was the week before when they had to win it to at least have a shot at getting into the postseason, that type mm-hmm. of thing, you know?
Right.
So mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, you know, this today was a big game. You don't, certainly don't want to lose two in a row. You don't want everybody to be questioning your ability as a team.
Well,
so was today a big game?
No, it wasn't, because people don't see it as a big game, because it was a team that you were supposed to beat.
Right.
It was a team that was inferior to you. It was a team that you knew that you can beat. So that makes it not a big game.
Right. I don't know.
I'm just throwing it out there because you brought that up.
Right.
The numbers, the way he played. Yeah.
Sure.
I expect for him to play that way against that guy, against that team, right?
Right.
I expected for the Badgers to go out and blow Illinois out. I expected Graham Mertz to do what he did against Illinois. They're not good. I mean, do it against Ohio State. Do it against Alabama.
Right.
Michigan is not Michigan anymore, but
no.
Right? Oh, geez. Did Penn State, don't talk college football, did Penn State take a big loss this weekend? Oh,
they got beat by Indiana, yeah. And Indiana's been a program on the come for a while, very quietly, yeah.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. Those are the teams that we're looking. Or, you know, here's another one. Maybe, and people are looking for tests. I'm thinking most folks think we should take Minnesota behind the woodshed, right?
Yep.
So a loss would be like you didn't see that coming.
Correct.
But a win, you expect to get a win. So if he throws 350 yards and 4 or 5 touchdowns, no one really cares, because that's what they expect for you to do against them.
Correct. Yeah, and I completely agree with you. I just people want to see Aaron Rodgers be great every game, and we all do too. But when you play better competition, greatness is in the eye of the beholder. It's did he make big plays in big moments? Did he make that spectacular play that only Aaron could make? Did the guys around him help him out? Because, you know as well as I do, football, look, you can look great as a quarterback, but you can't do it without a good offensive line. You can't do it without good receivers. Somebody's got to make a big play, you know?
Right.
And you can say, well, look at the statistics. He's 22 of 26 or whatever. Yeah, but you got a receiver that went out and caught 4 unbelievable passes. Mm-hmm. It makes that look all that much better. Just like that catch today from Devontae Adams down the sideline. Holy mackerel, how he caught that, I have no idea.
Right.
But Aaron gets credit for Aaron Rodgers gets credit for it, because it was just another terrific pass. It was over 20 yards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
no doubt about it.
I sometimes can say, you know, you look at Lamar Jackson in big moments. He has not taken that next step with his team, you know, but eventually, you know, he will. But that's the knock on him right now, that he has. Mm-hmm. But he'll win big games in the regular season. You know, eventually he'll win those games. But when you look at the overall totality between them and the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Kansas City Chiefs went into Baltimore and just beat them up, well, Kansas City's a more talented team. We can just say that. But Lamar Jackson, he gets tagged with not beating Patrick Mahomes. Not to mention that their defense gave it up to Patrick Mahomes, and they couldn't Correct. Stop him. Therefore, Right. Lamar Jackson didn't have as many opportunities. So, yes, I get it. And I understand it's where we give way too much credit to the quarterbacks, mm-hmm. but also to knock them, in reality, they're going to take the criticism, but it's not always warranted. And I also think that there is a, even though he has at times been an Aaron Rodgers, pusher of fame and better talent around him, I also think that Colin Cowherd has taken his fair shots at the Packers organization at times. I guess when they didn't really deserve it. Mm-hmm. He took shots to take shots. So, anyway, let's do this. We'll go ahead and take a quick break. Sure. We'll come back. Got a lot more to get to. Your reaction. Got a lot of reaction over on the Facebook fan page about this one. Packers are 5-1, 35-20. They knock off the Houston Texans. Got a lot more of the Green and Gold postgame show with Gary Ellerson. I'm Bill Michaels. We'll be back after this.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. We'll be right back. Sometimes you gotta stick. And sometimes you gotta hit. Let's find out the hit of the game. Brought to you by the Boilermakers Local 107. Building and rebuilding America for over 225 years. Check out their apprenticeship opportunities at Boilermakers107.com.
Third down and three. As Watson is wrapped up, down he goes. Adrian Amos with his first sack of the season.
There you go. That is the hit of the game. The hit of the game brought to you by the Boilermakers Local 107. Building and rebuilding America over 225 years. You can check out their apprenticeship opportunities at Boilermakers107.com. The hit of the game. Always good. Adrian Amos getting the sack. Gary Ellison alongside. I'm Bill Michaels. Packers are 5-1, 35-20. They knock off the Texans. Adrian Amos spoke after the game to the media. Here's what he had to say. There you go, Adrian Amos after the game. Gary, how important has he been? Because he's not a flashy guy. He's not a name you hear consistently. How important a pickup was he last year?
Well, it gave you some stability on your back end. Ha-ha Clinton Dix was kind of sporadic. This guy's give you a little bit, he's give you a little bit more stability back there, and that's kind of what you need. You're not getting beat over the top. Nobody's blowing coverages. It feels like everybody's where they're supposed to be, and that's what he gave them back there on that back end.
Let's do this. We'll step away, take a quick break. When we come back, our Green and Gold insider, Mike Clemens, is going to join us. And Mike is going to give us his thoughts on this contest and how big a win this actually was. We'll take it from a guy that's there each and every day. Stay tuned. We got more of the Green and Gold postgame show. Packers get a win. 5-1 they are on the season. 35-20 they beat the Texans. We'll be right back.
Listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
The Packers game is over, and now it's time to break this one down. It's the Green and Gold postgame show with former Packers running back Gary Ellerson and the big unit, Bill Michaels.
Packers get a win, 35-20. They knock off the Houston Texans, and the Packers are now 5-1. We do have some breaking news in the state of Wisconsin coming out of the University of Wisconsin. After his tremendous day yesterday, the report is Graham Mertz has tested positive for COVID-19.
That'll slow you down.
We'll see if it's a false positive or not.
Right,
we hope it's a false positive.
He could be like Nick Saban.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, Nick Saban tested positive on a Thursday, and he was ready to go Saturday.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Just like, what do you got?
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
Well, you get a guy off to a start like that, you know, and you don't want to slow that momentum down, you know. Come on,
it's the Badger way.
It's not like the Badgers did it. You know what? I can see somebody.
I came on just. Slow it down.
So somebody
slowing down.
So somebody out in Madison said, wait a minute, we can't get the hype too big. We're going to have to give this guy COVID, dude. Oh, my goodness. Packers get a win. Badgers get a win. Boy, I tell you what, we'll talk a little Big Ten later on in the program, but it was some surprise. Iowa got knocked off yesterday.
Right?
Rutgers got a win?
Yeah.
How about that?
Shoshana,
Rutgers never gets a win in the Big Ten.
What's his name over there?
Shiano.
Yeah, him too. Yeah.
Got a win, man.
Got a win.
Mike Clemens, our Green and Gold insider, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Michael, this is a win, and, I guess you could say they put the train back on the tracks in this one, right?
Yeah. Graham Mertz, most accurate to debut as a Badgers quarterback, and now with COVID. Well, the good news is that Aaron Rodgers is negative, and he was back where he's supposed to be in this offense. Quarterback rating today, 132, 4 touchdown passes. And, I thought he looked a lot more comfortable today. And he talked just after the game on beating the Texans after that blowout loss in Tampa last week?
That game is an outlier, I believe, and today was more in line with our first 4 weeks. A game that, you know, I know we're in week seven, but they've had a lot of turmoil over there on that side. A game that if we want to be a great team, we got to win these games. I don't think it was the cleanest game from an operation standpoint, probably in all three phases. Offensively, we had some plays that definitely leave your head scratching. But then you turn around, you score 35 points. We had a really good day on third down. We were really good in the red zone. So it's one of those kind of strange games where you're definitely productive, but there was some more out there that we probably could have had.
And so, then, Mike, I was just going to say, it was so interesting because Aaron Jones not on that injury report this week until later in the week. And boy, I tell you what, they really didn't miss too much of a beat in the run game.
No. Jonesy had tweaked his calf in practice Thursday. It started to tighten up on him Thursday night and Friday morning. He didn't practice on Friday. He did make the trip, but there was no way they were going to let him on the field today. So Aaron Jones out. Tyler Irvin, I thought this was interesting talking to Aaron Jones on Friday. He ran a lot of that stuff that Tyler Irvin runs in the jet sweeps in their motion, and he went to Tyler Irvin after the Bucs game and said, "Man, I didn't realize how much running you've got to do." You know, mm-hmm. back and forth behind the line. You know, they're like running gassers. And so that's why people were saying how much they were missing Irvin in running your offense against the Buccaneers last weekend. And A.J. Dillon gets his chance. But, you know, Jamal Williams came through today with over 100 yards total offense, both catching the ball, running with it. A.J. Dillon got 5 carries in today's game. And Matt LaFleur saying, after the game, how nice is it to have a backup running back like Jamal Williams when Aaron Jones is inactive?
Oh, Jamal is a starter in our mind, and we feel like we have two of them, and we feel like we have a great young talent in A.J. Dillon. So, you know, we're really fortunate to have three guys that are capable of carrying the load. And Jamal does so much from not only obviously as a runner, but in the passing game, whether it's going out of the backfield, catching balls, and in protection. He's always consistent, and we know we can always count on him.
Well, I think when you go look at, you know, Jamal Williams, and next year you look at his contract, I mean, he's up for a contract, right? Aaron Jones up for a contract. I mean, I think you look at him today, I think he showed today. I don't think he's Aaron Jones, but I think he most certainly is going to get paid somewhere, if not with the Green Bay Packers.
And, Gary, if I'm Jamal Williams' agent, I'm saving that clip right there from Matt LaFleur saying we don't think of him as a backup.
Right.
We think of him as another starter.
Yes.
And so then you had those injuries starting to stack up today. You saw Za'Darius Smith leave the game. He's wearing high tops.
Yes, I saw
those. Ankle's bothering. Did you see that?
Yeah.
You know, and we saw that in practice last week. He left the game. He did come back. You saw him with his hand on the ground at times, mm-hmm. playing the three technique off the guard. Chris Barnes, this number 51 kid, undrafted, great, but he keeps on getting banged up. He was down by the Texas
line. Well, he's got a shoulder, it looks like.
Hurt his shoulder, Gary. Hurt his shoulder. They put in Ty Summers, but, you know, he ended up giving up a touchdown in the next drive to the Texans. No. So then they put in Kamal Martin, the fifth-round pick, who looked so great in training camp, had to have some knee surgery, and he mm-hmm. got those snaps toward the back end of the game, number 54.
Right.
Have to take another look at the film to see how that went. But, you know, mm-hmm. you're talking to Adrian Amos about, man, you're out there, no Kevin King, no Darnell Savage, you know, with a quad. Raven Green, mm-hmm. you know, this guy, he hits
right.
hard. And you see Deshaun Watson saying, 24 is the mic, okay? Because they're putting him over the middle, but this guy left with an oblique today. Raven Green
right.
keeps on getting banged up. And you asked Adrian Amos, it seemed like he had a revolving door in the secondary today.
You know, everybody has their role. And then when things happen, people go down, people have to step up. And you have to maintain that same standard that we have. I think the guys that came in, they did very well for what they was asked to do. And I feel like overall we contained them. We contained the vertical passing game. You know, they may have had a couple of things on a couple of the drives, but I think for the most part, everybody that came in and played well.
And
Mike,
go ahead,
Bill. But, no, but I was just going to say, that when you look at this defense the way it was with all the different pieces, and then the return last week of Davante Adams, getting all the criticism for throwing the ball to him so much,
yeah,
and the fact that guys, that as this team has lost guys injuries, yes, you miss Swervin Irvin, you know, things like that. But now that I think you get back to what Aaron Rodgers said in that quote, I feel like we were more in a rhythm. We were back to what we were the first 4 weeks of the season. It certainly seemed like there was the depth there. There was the flow, whatever you want to call it. The
flowation
of the game. There,
yeah,
flowility, the flowation of the game. It seemed like things were at least a constant motion forward rather than trying to figure things out.
Gary Ellerson cracks me up over there.
I like them. Bill be using them big words sometimes, man.
Rogers was talking a couple weeks ago about the flow of the plays, and then there's
the trepidation he had one week. Yeah, I mean, he's killing me.
Yeah, there's fluidity. So, yeah, you know, you got J.J. Watt over there looking for his 100th sack, and they shut him out with Rick Wagner and big Mercedes Lewis putting him out in the start of the game. Rogers getting the ball out of his hands quick today. And no Aaron Jones. Yeah, we're going to go to Davante Adams 16 times, 13 catches, 196, kind of a career day for him, and the two touchdowns. And then even these kinds of obstacles with this familiarity, there's another one of the F word, between Devontae, there's that third down where it looked like Devontae sort of lost the ball at the sideline, and Rodgers hit him like right there at the waist and the hands. And he said he actually had a hard time seeing it inside NRG Stadium.
Yeah, I mean, those are the ones, and that actually happens a lot more often than people think. It's a tough, you know, you get in some of these domes, the ball's in the light line for a while, and I, like you said, I could not see the ball until it touched my hands. I kind of had an idea where it was, and I just had to squeeze on it, and, you know, that's just credit to Aaron for throwing the ball that, you know, I can catch without seeing.
I still think, again, going back to the question whether or not this was a solid win, I think it was a very solid win. And going back to what Davante said, you know, they had injuries as well, but Aaron Rodgers, it didn't seem like, much like in the game against Minnesota, they didn't force the ball to Davante, and he had, other than that catch that he had in the end zone, I think it was a 3 or 4 yard touchdown pass, it seemed like even when he went to Davante, he was still going through a rotation on the field. He was still going through checkdowns on the field because he knew Davante was the guy he wanted to go to, but he was still looking off coverage. He wasn't staring down Davante as much.
Right.
It's spreading the ball around. You know, they were running the ball, dominating the clock like they did the first two games, and they didn't have to take shots for touchdowns. They took passing shots in the red zone and spread the ball around to Robert Tonyan. Hell, Malik Taylor, the kid, you know, that beat out Kumaro for that spot. I'm very disappointed in Marquez Valdes-Scantling. They don't trust him, man. You know, they need him to be a number two. He's not playing like a number two right now. They didn't use him, you know, taking shots. That was just the situation. But you talked. Here's the big turning point early in the game. First series, Packers with the ball, and on third down, number 21 from the Texans, their corner, Bradley Roby, he leaves the game with a knee injury and didn't return. And Davante asked, how much difference did that make for him the rest of the game?
I mean, I look at everybody the same way, and I think I've said that a trillion times at this point, and that's no disrespect to anybody. You know, 21 is a hell of a player. And I'm not really sure what happened and why he didn't play. I would have loved that matchup as well. But, you know, at the end of the day, I can only eat what's in front of me. So at the end, I'm going to go out there and play and run my routes to win, no matter who's guarding me, as I always say. But, you know, that would have been a good matchup either way.
Go ahead, Mike. I was going to jump in there for a second.
Well, you know, so now we take it over to the Texans locker room. And, you know, here's a team that I would say heading into this season you thought would be a top five, top six team in the NFL with a shot at the Super Bowl led by Deshaun Watson, the quarterback. And, you know, some teams were ready for COVID. This team I don't think was. And Roby Crennel, interim head coach again, listened to this question and answer session about now they're 1-6 heading into their bye and what it was like losing that Bradley Roby in the first series of the game.
After Roby went out, they didn't always work the way we anticipated that they were going to work. Some of them were zone calls. You know, we played some zone, and they were still able to get deep against some of the zone calls as well. But not having your matchup corner not being able to match up on their best guy, I think it did hurt us.
Romeo, entering the bye week with you guys being 1-6, how would you describe the state of this team, and where do you feel like you guys go from here for the rest of the season?
Well, we're an inconsistent team, and we showed that today. What we have to do is we have to try to refresh our minds, refresh our bodies during the bye week, and then come back and practice, work together, pull together to be a more consistent team going down the stretch. And, you know, we've got some ability. When we give the quarterback time, he can make some plays. Defensively, you know, we're inconsistent, but we did do better against the run overall today, but then we got killed in the passing game. That's a sign of inconsistency.
Hey, Mike, can we take a break and bring you back in the next segment?
Sounds good.
Let's do that because we're running that a little bit late here. Let's do that. Gary Ellison alongside Mike Clemens joining us as well. It's the Green and Gold postgame show, listening to a lot of the inside the locker room chatter after the Packers get a win. 5-1 they are, 35-20. They get the win, knock off the Houston Texans. The next up, Minnesota Vikings coming to Lambeau Field. More of the Green and Gold postgame show coming up next.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
From the line of scrimmage to the end zone, what was the drive of the game? It's time for the Chevy Drive of the Game. Find what's next. Check out the new 2020 Chevy Silverado at your local Chevy dealer or WisconsinDrivesChevy.com.
Third down and four. As Rodgers throws, it's Adams, makes the catch and will take it in for his second touchdown today. 45 yards from Rodgers to Adams on third down.
No over-the-top help there. Devontae Adams gets loose 45 yards, and that culminated in 8-play, 75-yard drive in 4 minutes and 11 seconds. And that is your drive of the game, and it's brought to you by our good friends at Chevy. Find out what's next. Check out the new Chevy or 2020 Chevy Silverado at your local Chevy dealer or WisconsinDriveChevy.com. That's WisconsinDriveChevy.com. Gary Ellison alongside. I'm Bill Michaels. Packers 35-20 over the Texans. They get a win. They go to 5-1. Mike Clemens is here talking more about it and bringing us more inside the locker room. So, Mike, look, we know the Texans, their head coach just says, hey, all we can do is continue to try to get better. Offensively, they're not a bad football team, but defensively, they're just nowhere near as good as they used to be, and they're nowhere near a playoff contender any longer.
No, and you're surprised that they can't at least get in shootouts more often. But they're off to a very slow start. They made a play on special teams. And, you know, it was funny because no sooner did I think this, we went through three quarters. One of the things about the Packers' loss to the Bucs, and you're looking for a spark, Matt LaFleur to find some kind of a spark to change the momentum after two Aaron Rodgers interceptions and the pick six. And I thought, how about special teams? When is the last time the Green Bay Packers try to pull something on special teams, like a fake punt or something? But, you know, Sean Menega, special teams coordinator for Green Bay, at least he keeps you in good field position. J.K. Scott had some good punts. And then the backup running back for the Texans today blocks a punt, and suddenly you're starting to pay a little more attention to those special teams. And you got this Henry Black kid, a safety undrafted out of Baylor that was in camp, and they activated him this morning. He ends up getting two tackles and gets that shoulder, you know, on a guy carrying the ball and creates a forced fumble. So it's funny how those plays can play up and come creep into a game like this. For the Texans, Brandon Cooks, here's a guy that's been around the league. And I told you that, you know, last week, you know, the word out of Houston was they're giving up. I mean, they got a week from this next week, Tuesday, Election Day, to maybe trade and start trying to acquire draft picks and just rebuild a new team around Deshaun Watson. And so here's Brandon Cooks a couple minutes ago after the game with the media in Houston on their troubles with sustaining their offensive drives.
Brandon, what do you think you guys can do to be more consistent? We see the flashes. We see the ability. What do you think you guys can do to be more consistent on offense?
Be more consistent in practice.
I'm sorry. Could you elaborate on that? I mean,
just are what you repeatedly do. I think we could be more consistent in practice, and I think that'll show in the game. As far as getting into the details, that's, you know, we keep, once again, keep that in the building, but just being more consistent at practice as well.
And as someone that's been traded many times, What do you tell your teammates you head into the trade deadline? Obviously, that creates a lot of uncertainty, and Romeo tried to clear the air about that before this game. What do you tell your teammates?
You know, at the end of the day, you just got to, once again, continue to focus and do what you can. Those things are out of guys' control, so you can't be thinking about that. You know, you just got to go and show up to work and show that you love this game and be there for your teammates, you know, regardless what the rumors are. You know, there's so many lies out there in our media today. And so we just got to tune out that noise and focus within our building, and that's the most important thing. Yeah, I know it's a cliche answer, but I think that's what you got to do.
It sounds like an incredibly frustrated group. We heard just a little bit of J.J. Watt earlier, Mike, and it sounds like the Houston Texans are on the verge of, like, inwardly collapsing.
Green Bay Packers are still winning. Why? Because they got Aaron Rodgers. But was it 2 years ago? Mark Murphy said, let's move on from Mike McCarthy, who's not off to a great start in Dallas right now. And let's make the decision on a Matt LaFleur, who brings in a very strong, young, energetic coaching staff from all different corners of the NFL. And look at the changes you've made. And you've kept with your younger, build through the draft kind of a team, etc. And when a COVID challenge hits, your organization does really good when it comes to, so far so good, knock on wood, with the COVID. Texans, maybe not so much. And Deshaun Watson, this gifted quarterback, I've covered some 1-4 Packers teams, and of course I've had 28 years of Hall of Fame quarterbacks, but I don't remember covering a 1-6 Packers team. And it's just amazing the precipitous drop of this Houston Texans team from where they were a year ago to being 1-6. And Deshaun Watson, this kid, this quarterback, this is like the longest first half of a season he's ever experienced.
COVID to coaching change to losses to success to family. I mean, just everything. You know, so it's a good time for me to be able to kind of decompress this bye week, figure out, the second half of the season. The body and mind, and just find some time and then come back to work and, just try to finish it off as strong as possible.
And I wanted to expand on this, Bill, because this Texans team was in Green Bay for a week, for the week of joint practices last summer. And you thought, man, these guys are going to be a team to contend with. But then you talk to Texans safety Michael Thomas. He's 30 now. He's been with the 49ers, Dolphins, and Giants, and now with Houston. And this is what he's trying to say to these young guys lost on this 1-6 team in Houston.
What type of player are you when you're 1-5? Are you going to go out there and just dog it? Are you going to go out there and try to get better every single week? Are you going to go out there and compete regardless of what your record is, regardless of what your situation is, your standing is? And I think a lot of vets know that, even though the Texans have had a lot of success here lately. I think a lot of vets know that. But the young guys, especially just letting them know and understanding, like, nah, like, this isn't a time to, tank it in or pack it in. Like, it's time to actually, like, focus on your technique, get better.
You know, Gary, you've been there with the team. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, and what I was going to say here, Bill, we talked about Mike McCarthy moving on from them, and I can remember where a lot of people were giving our owner or so-called owner, not really so-called owner because we really don't have one, but they were giving him a lot of grief about how he was running things at 12-65 Lombardi. And what you see is that you have to have a structure in place with your GM, with ownership, and yes, you still can come out of this. You're right. You're right. The Green Bay Packers had Aaron Rodgers. They got Deshaun Watson. That's a pretty good offensive football team. They got a lot of weapons. But for some reason, there's something that's not right within that organization that they need to get right. Yeah, maybe it was time for McCarthy to go. But the Green Bay Packers rallied from that, right? And they went out and they hired the next coach. A lot of people did not like Matt LaFleur when Mark Murphy brought him in here. So, and right now, you look at Packer fans right now, they're so spoiled, they're pissed off today about this win. They don't even know how to feel about that. So, I mean, it is. You look at where the Houston Texans are at and how far they fall. Mike, you're right. Just last year, these guys were a Super Bowl team. And look how far they fall from grace. Now, flips the other side of that is the Green Bay Packers. New head coach. They've got, you know, a lot of new people on this Packer coaching staff, and they went 13-3 last year. Probably gonna win another 13 games, and our fans are pissed off. Are you kidding me?
Well, and the thing is, Gary, you won a game without your left tackle today with J.J. Watt,
and you got and your running back, yes,
and your coach figured out a way on how to deal with that. And, you know, look at these inside linebackers. You know, one goes down with an injury, another one steps up, and they're playing pretty darn good. And, you know, your team is only as good as your weakest player. And, you know, by God, Henry Black getting out there for 3-4 plays.
I didn't even know who he was. I said Bill, number 41. Bill, didn't you know who I was talking about? Bill had to go look up 41.
I mean, you know.
Henry Black. Yep,
I don't him. I don't know where Elliot Wolf is today, but I think Goody was probably a pretty good choice at picking up where Ted left off, on keeping the roster fresh with smart kids and that are competitive. And maybe, you know, they're not the Antonio Browns of the world, right, but at least they keep you in the games and keep you in the season. And then listen to a quality guy like J.J. Watt. I've been around him 2-3 times. Bill, there was one time that Bill and I were at the Pro Bowl, and J.J. Watt pointed to Bill and said, "I grew up listening to you," which made us feel pretty old.
Bill's relatively young. I mean, he's only 45.
There's no better vocal leader than J.J. Watt. Listen how ticked off this guy is. Here's J.J. Watt after today's loss.
J.J., what's it like chasing Aaron Rodgers and getting close to him and then found out he's already completed a great pass down the field?
I mean, what do you think that's like? Not great.
J.J., we've kind of asked you these questions several times this year, but now you're going into the bye week at 1-6. What are your feelings about this team going forward?
Got to get better.
J.J., as a leader, as a veteran on the team, what do you tell your teammates the way the state of the season, the state of the team right now, as far as you know, holding it together, keeping it together?
Show up to work and do your job.
Hey, J.J., how would you assess your level of confidence in this defense and in this team right now, considering where everything is?
I mean, we're 1-6. You are what your record says you are.
I understand that you don't coach or play DB, but could you speak to how the injury to Bradley Roby just kind of threw things off for you guys in terms of whatever your game plan was today?
No, I know nothing about that.
Could you talk about the way Rodgers played today and compare it to the ways you'd seen him play earlier and when you guys played against him?
He played very well today.
What did he do that made him play well?
Threw the ball to the receivers and they caught.
J.J., y'all came close last week in the second half. Your defense had several stops in a row, so there was a chance something could happen if your offense could have done something. Do you see any light at the end of the tunnel for this team going forward?
Just got to go to work. Get better.
How would you characterize your emotions at this point? Just kind of, I would say it's frustrating. It's tough. You're not accustomed to losing around here.
Yeah. Frustrated. I'm angry. I mean, sucks. I don't know. I don't know what else I'm supposed to feel.
Thanks, JJ.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Wow. That was one unhappy camper right there. I mean, he has a right to be unhappy. I mean, when you see a guy's motor like he has and then to watch
do
the
you,
way.
Do you, as a press guy, do you give J.J. Watt the benefit of the doubt, knowing that you know the kind of person he is? Knowing that everything he's done for the state of Texas.
I think that was a totally classy response like from a veteran leader like J.J. Watt in saying, this is messed up, and this needs to be fixed now, or I want out. I think that's what he's saying right there. I don't think he could have said it any better.
I would agree.
I would agree, too. That's because he even said it, what was it, right before they fired their head coach, Bill O'Brien, he even said something to the effect then that this, like, something with communication and the message is messed up.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was a loud salvo over the bow of the ship that was the Houston Texans. Mike, great stuff.
A lot of money over a lot of years and everything, but he's like, you know, you people don't know what you're doing. You've got to rebuild. You need football operations. You need – you know, to get a better coach. This place is on fire,
and I've given you everything I can, and all the injuries he's rehabbed and everything like that, and this is what you give us to work with, you know, this ain't working. And to get beat by a fresh new team led by a 40-year-old head coach like Matt LaFleur probably makes it even more difficult for him. Like, you know, why did I get stuck with this? You know, we've been to the playoffs. We never got quite to the next level. We were always close. Then we got this quarterback. This quarterback's as good as he thinks is probably as Patrick Mahomes is. Why can't we close the deal and get the scouting department and all those other things you need to do to get to the next level in the NFL? I feel sorry for him. I feel sorry for him.
Yep, no doubt. Mike, great stuff, buddy. We'll talk soon, okay?
Thanks, Bill and Gary.
Appreciate it. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break away. We'll come back, get into our MVP coming up here in just a little bit. We're also going to hear from Aaron Rodgers. That is next on the Green and Gold Postgame Show.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Let's hear from the QB of today's game. Let's hear what number 12 has to say after this one. Brought to you by Robert Half Diamonds, where they always pay green for your gold. RobertHackDiamonds.com.
Welcome back. Green and Gold postgame show continues on. 5-1 the Packers are now, waiting for the Minnesota Vikings to come a call in next week at Lambeau Field. That is scheduled for a noon kickoff. 35-20, they beat the Texans today. Gary Ellerson alongside. I'm Bill Michaels. And we'll get to Aaron Rodgers coming up here in a moment. I do want to get to the caller that's been on hold for a little while. Let's go to Brian listening to us in Wauwatosa. Brian, how you doing?
I'm doing just fine. How about yourself?
Good. What you thinking?
Well, you know, I kind of want to look at this. I called in because I'm hearing a lot of negative stuff. And even if we look at the last 2 years, if we take away all of the wins that we've had in the last 2 years, and you look at our worst losses, San Francisco, Tampa Bay this year, whatever, blah, blah, blah. If you look at what team is on the field playing those losses, if we break down the rest of the season, the rest of the schedule that we've got going on, worst-case scenario is 11-5. And that would be losing to the Bears twice, losing to Tennessee, and losing to Indianapolis. And we all know how Bears games go. Worst-case scenario is usually split. We can beat Indianapolis and Tennessee. If we can stop the run, King comes back and sits in the middle, and you know, you're blitzing him and you get our nose guard back, we can stop that run, you know. So, worst case scenario, we're 11-5. We're already, you know, that's a playoff team right there. If they play up to their wins over the last 2 years, I mean, we can beat anybody in the NFL,
sure.
I completely agree with that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's wide open. And I don't know what they did today, but I like the Tennessee Titans a lot. I think if the Green Bay Packers will have to play the Tennessee Titans, they're in trouble. Because I think they're the one team that can bust them in the mouth and be physical enough that can absolutely beat them. But that's way over in the AFC. You won't have to see them until Super Bowl, if you get there, right, Bill?
Right.
So,
yeah.
I mean,
by the way, the Texans got beat at home 27-24 by Big Ben and the Steelers.
The Titans did?
Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go. I mean, so it's a fluid situation over there. I mean, now the Steelers are making a little noise. But that's in the AFC. But if you look in the NFC right now, I mean, everybody wanted to say Tampa Bay. I'm not buying Tampa Bay as of yet. They went out and got AB. We'll see what that does to their team. Most certainly they have weapons. Most certainly have a good defense. I just think Aaron Rodgers can play better and will play better. Listen, they were up 10-0, and they didn't have an answer. So they just need to go back and play like they were up when they were up 10-0.
Let's do this. Aaron Rodgers spoke to the media just a little while ago. Let's take a listen to some of the stuff that Aaron had to say after the ball game. And Aaron Rodgers, by the way, in his postgame presser, is always brought to you by our friends at Robert Half Diamonds. Robert Half Diamonds, where they always pay green for your gold. Go to Robert Half, HACK. That's RobertHackDiamonds.com. Here's Aaron Rodgers. So there you go, Aaron Rodgers after the ball game. When we come back, Gary and I are going to pick the MVP of this contest. Packers get a win 35-20, go to 5-1 of the season. We got the final segment of the Green Gold Postgame Show coming up next.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
'Somebody stood out today. That player is the Van Horn MVP of the game.
Let's see who Bill and Gary choose from today's game. Brought to you by Van Horn Automotive Group. Locations throughout Wisconsin and Iowa. Family born and employee owned. On the web at vanhornauto.com.
Welcome back. Packers get a win 35-20, knock off the Texans, go to 5-1. And Gary Ellerson and I, we choose the Van Horn Automotive MVP of the game. And it's easy to look at Aaron Rodgers and say what a game he had. But Gary, Devonta Adams, 13 catches, almost 200 yards, 196 yards, two touchdowns, that 45-yard catch and run for a touchdown. Also, he had that long one down the sideline that I don't know how he came up with, but
yeah,
he did. You could look over and say, you know, look at Adrian Amos. He had a sack today. You could also talk about Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith getting in on some action today. Za'Darius having a sack as well. But you got to go back to Devonta Adams, don't you?
Yeah, I think you do. But here's what you make note of, Billy. Jair Alexander is quietly having that kind of a season.
Yes,
where you
is.
Say, go guard that guy and shut him down. He's doing that right now, week in and week out.
He is being recognized as one of the best corners now in the league. And
right.
If he's not in the top five, he's damn close to it. But
right.
I agree with you. He is really – the Jair Alexander pick is really looking good. You can't wait to get Kevin King back and have him make his presence known again. And then see how this secondary of the Packers really begins to flourish. That's why if the Packers would make a deal and they bring in a guy like a Watt or something like that defensively.
Oh, that defensive back group will be ecstatic.
Yeah, because then you've got actually a rush.
Yeah, right. They don't have to cover.
Right. You don't have to worry about it. Covering that extra second or two. So, but good stuff. We'll go with Devonta Adams. Big day today. Coming back from injury just a couple of weeks ago. Last week, he got the ball quite a bit, but this week, 13 catches, 196 yards, 45-yard touchdown pass, and another one to his name. So Devonta Adams is our Van Horn Automotive MVP of the week. So this week, Gary, look, we're going to talk about probably the expected win.
Yeah.
But where do the Vikings rank, I guess, as we start to stare down the barrel of the Vikings game at Lambeau Field on Sunday? If they beat the Vikings, is this another ho-hum game?
Well, yeah, because I think the Vikings are in a sale mode. I mean, they got rid of the defensive lineman that they brought in to make their team better. I think they had another defensive player go on IR for hernia surgery.
Danielle Hunter.
Had they been in it, he probably would not have done that. So it feels like to me that the Vikings are kind of thrown in the towel for this year's playoff race. So to me, it's always a rivalry game, so that's always has something in it. But I think they're done. I mean, that game should be much like this Texans game where you see the Green Bay Packers, ho-hum game, run away with it, and kick their tails.
I still look at it as a good win if they knock off Minnesota, even though many won't. But really, now you got to look past that. You got to look to that San Francisco game. And as long as the Packers don't do that, but you look at that San Francisco game, and maybe that's the one you circle and you say, okay, because San Francisco went into New England, and that game I don't think is complete just yet, but they beat the hell out of New England. They're up 33-6. They're up 33-6 right now.
They're up 33-6 right now. You're right about that. Was looming large, yes. San Fran, most folks think we can get them. Was looming large, no matter what happens Monday night, will be the Chicago Bears.
That'll be the next one.
Yep.
All right, buddy. Good stuff. We'll talk soon. And we're back at it one more time before a sparse crowd. Down at Energy Stadium, the Green Bay Packers get a win, and they knock off J.J. Watt and the Houston Texans. It was 35-20. Enjoy the rest of your night. You got a good Monday night game with the Bears and the L.A. Rams. You got game five of the World Series, a spectacular World Series so far. And then we'll talk about the Minnesota Vikings coming up all next week. Time for us to go. Have a go. See you.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.